This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City Rehab Up. Oh my gosh, you guys, this is our penultimate recap. This is the second to last episode of the season that we're going to be recapping for you. I am Maggie Morgan, one of your hosts, and with me today is the incomparable, the incredible, you know what, entirely flexible, because I couldn't record last night, and then I pushed this podcast recording back another 15 minutes, and he has not complained once,
Maybe
I'm sure he's flexible in all other ways, but we're not going to get into that yet. It's the amazing Jacob Jones. How are you tonight,
that was probably,
Jacob?
Probably my favorite intro that you have given me. I'm a man of many talents, and
I know.
I've been called the flexible trapeze artist. I've been called the contortionist. I've been called a lot of things, but I've also been. I just am a good time. So I like to be flexible. I like to.
So anybody who lives in the New York area who has any interest,
money,
flood Jacob's DMs. Important requirement is money.
Yes.
If there's money there, maybe you get to see what Jacob the contortionist can do.
I don't give a damn about no good personality. You know what I mean? Like, F that. Give me the residuals. I go where the money resides.
Enough.
But
if
Maggie,
you live in the New York City
area, I'm super excited to be here with you. Oh, and if you also hooked up with Meredith, allegedly, then, you know, come hit us up too, so we can get some leads.
Oh yeah, hit us up. We want the breaking story.
Yes, but Maggie, I'm super excited to be here with you, because this is part two of the reunion, and I was thoroughly entertained in disbelief and confusion, but I was thoroughly entertained.
It was dark, though. It didn't make me laugh the way last week did, because, like, okay, so we get on the Zoom, and I was like, Jacob, Lisa Barlow has problems. Like, she has mental problems. And he was like, I'm so glad to hear you say that. I was like, oh, yeah. Like, I watched this reunion episode and I was like, oh, Lisa is a narcissist. Like, and look, not a doctor, not diagnosing anybody, but like, what the hell was that? Like, I literally at one point had to pause the television because I was like, what? Like, what is she? Where does somebody, like, in their mind do backflips to think this way? And usually when Lisa does stuff like that, it's like, it tickles me because it's like stupid. It's over like petty shit. But this was like very deeply hurtful to her friend of 10 plus years. And she was like completely incapable of taking any sort of like true responsibility. I know she said, like, I have to answer for that. I know that I did that. But like, not really. And like, not in a way that was like impactful or like emotional. Like, we'll get into it, but there was a moment where like Meredith is sobbing to her and is like, this is the way you treat me after I begged you to be a good friend to you after my father's death. And Lisa turns her full body away from Meredith and looks at Andy and says, I was a good friend to
Literally,
Meredith.
I can't deal with this woman. But I have to say, my queen of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, came through once again for, mm-hmm. I feel as though, a very strong part two performance in Salt mm-hmm. Lake City. I feel like part one, she owned it. Part two, she did so well. And mm-hmm. Meredith, I will not hop off of this ship because she makes logical sense. She's a mature woman. She's smart. She's like, she's just on it. And I love seeing that displayed amongst this reunion, even though it was very emotional. And I feel like as though Andy loves mm-hmm. Meredith, and I like
Andy was picking up what Meredith was putting down, yeah. and he was like, "I am.
I see what you're doing. She's mm-hmm. she's pulling gum. We got exhibit A, we got exhibit B, but let's get into it. Yeah, but it was. I thought it was a really good reunion. Dark moments, but I thought that Meredith and the ladies performed well for TV's sake.
Yeah, there's like nothing really in the episode other than the Lisa Meredith stuff. So like, if we want to really quickly go over just like some of the like points that, but like not, I mean, I think that the biggest story other than like the hot mic is the Cameron of it all in the discussion on Cameron, which is kind of like wild and dark, and like again, like it's just like darkness. Like, so they're asking if Mary's church is a cult. This is how we sort of got into mm-hmm. it. And Meredith says that she doesn't think so. Mm-hmm. Whitney says that when she attended, she did not think so, but she questions it now. And Jen Shaw, coming through, it's like she listened to us several weeks ago, said, "I think every church is a cult in some way."
Yeah.
And Andy was like, "Well, what made you think Mary's church is a cult?" And she said, "Well, I was there. It was a Mother's Day tribute, mm-hmm. but people were not honoring their mothers. They were honoring Mary."
Yeah. And I feel like we touched on that, like when we talked about like Mary's, we were just like, we saw as though the people at the mm-hmm. church were giving more admiration and love and just like the whole garnishment of everything to Mary and solely Mary. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of gives ammunition to the rumors of being a cult. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I feel like we got that. We got that point when it happened. And we saw it.
Absolutely. And Jenny, this is how we really get into the camera of it all. Jenny is like, "Why is Mary's church such a big deal? Like, why is everyone still harping on this?" And Heather,
which I loved.
Yeah. Bad weather this episode, like some of their smirks, I was like, shut up. But this was true. And Heather came through and Heather said, "Well, it's because Cameron was invited to events on camera by Lisa."
Period.
And it is the truth.
Lisa brought Cameron into the event to be messy, to start up these rumors. Mm-hmm. And then I love the fact that Andy asked Meredith, "Why do you think that Lisa introduced you to Cameron?" And it got into this whole other conversation. But she did that basically to push a storyline, to give something else in Jen. Mm-hmm. And I just hate the fact that, the ladies have Lisa clocked, and in the part two mm-hmm. of this reunion, they really like clocked her to her face, where I feel like she has no moves left other than to mm-hmm. try to be as authentic as possible and not to be as calculated, as manipulative, as a person that throws the rock and then hides their hand. And yeah, like her plans like exploded right in front of her face, and I was here for every moment of it.
Well, yeah, but because when you got Meredith Marks' lawyer on the case,
she was all, like, she had that
"What
hat
else
on.
Are you gonna?"
She had that.
Yeah,
hat
I mean,
on.
Meredith goes. Whitney asks, "Was Cameron on the board of Foster Care Utah?" Mm-hmm. And Lisa says, "Yes," and Meredith says, "No, he was not. He was not on the board, not from what I saw." And Lisa says, "Well, he was helping," and sort of like backs up a little bit and is like skirmish. Then Meredith asks about the mortgage, and Lisa is like, Meredith is like, "Did he actually mortgage his house and give Mary $300,000 and Lisa's like, "Well, I think I got the numbers wrong." Mm-hmm. And Meredith says off camera, "Lisa flat out told me that he did not mortgage his house and that he gave her 10% of what she said, $30,000.
And that is what Mary said. Yeah, Mary coincided that. And also, I love the fact that she echoed the point you told me off camera. And Andy made this small comment. He said, you like having conversations off cameras. You're like, no, it was just two. But as we come to find out, there were more conversations that Lisa, she plays these games that like, and it just irks the shit out of me. And then Meredith said, how come you didn't clear that up on camera? You bought that rumor to the show, exploited it for the show's sake, but you didn't clear it up when you knew the facts, when you told me behind the scenes what the actual truth was, that he gave $30,000, which Mary Cohen co-signed that. But you didn't clear that up. You threw out a rumor. You just let it go when you knew the truth. And I don't know if you knew the truth later, but you should have cleared that shit up, you know? And
yeah, I think that the thing is, and, you know, I think that there is some truth to what Heather said on that Sprinter van. And we both agreed at the time when Heather said that Lisa loves to muddy up the waters and then pull her hand out so that she is not involved. And I think that that's what Lisa was trying to do. And they're totally clocking her. And like, also then they bring up the fact that Lisa was upset with Whitney for contacting Cameron. So I guess, and Lisa like pulls out these glasses and like pulls out Cameron's text messages. And Lisa says that in the text messages, Cameron texted Lisa and said, Whitney Rose reached out to me because she got my number from Angie Harrington. And I just wanted to let you know, I didn't tell her anything about Mary. And Whitney pulls out her phone and reads what Cameron texted her. And he apparently texted her that he was about to come out with stories about Mary and that her congregation does believe that she's God. And so Andy's like, well, what's the discrepancy here? He said he didn't tell her anything. I think that he, in his mind, didn't think he told her anything. He just said, like, I'm going to come out with the truth about Mary soon. Because Whitney speculated, and this is pure speculation, and I do feel a bit icky about speculating about this since he has since passed on.
Yeah, I mean, they even said it. They said, like, when Lisa put out the text message, they were like, why are we pulling out text messages? But then they pulled out text messages too. So it kind of was a
Yeah, because hand. Bad weather is, like, messy, and that's the thing. Like, Lisa showed her whole booty this episode, but bad weather, like, gleefully being like, yay, as though they were not completely a part of taking that torch about Meredith's father's memorial and running it around into the whole house was burning is bullshit. I mean, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
To act like they are putting it all on Lisa and acting like they had nothing to do with it and then, like, gleefully giggling that Lisa's in trouble, which, like, yeah, Lisa's fucked up. Clearly, like, there's a lot that was going on. But, like, I was a bit like, Whitney, Heather, wipe that smirk off your face. You know, I was getting a little bit pissed off at them.
TBH, I love the smirk. I have to say, and I am not a fan of bad weather, which I have stated numerous times. But when they kept, like, stopping Lisa in her tracks with her, with, like, the shit she does, I loved it. I loved it. I didn't really see the smirks, but if I did, I think I would have loved it too. Because when I just see someone clocking someone out of utter bullshit, I get very enthralled in it. And also point that in this whole interaction, when Lisa put on her glasses and put out the text messages, Whitney said, first, she said, why are we pulling out text messages with Cameron? Like, he's not here, X, Y, and Z. And then she said, how do we even know those text messages are factual? Pull out your actual phone. And I was just dying because no one believes anything that Lisa does at this point. They think she's a liar. And the fact that she said, how do we even know those text messages are true? You could have made those up. I was dying because you can, like, you know, fake the front with text messages. And I was just dying the fact that, like, Whitney said, let's see your phone. Let's see the phone. And she was like, no, I have the messages right here. It was just like clocking after clocking in that scenario.
Which, like, that is funny. Like, that is hilarious. That Lisa's like, I have the messages here.
Yes.
Like, that is the pure Lisa Barlow camp. Like, I'm upset about the second half of the episode, but, like, that stuff, I was like, she is crazy. Like, what is she doing? Like, it's just so silly. But Whitney speculated on this, and I think this is, like, the most gossipy rumor ever, but, like, I want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Whitney said that she believes that Cameron had an affair with Mary when he was much younger, because she was like, I believe he had an affair with her. And Lisa's like, he was married, he was with her. And Whitney's like, no, I mean before he met his wife. Like, I believe when he was much younger, he and Mary had an affair. And there's no context for this. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything, obviously, but, like, it would not surprise me at all if Mary was having affairs with men from her church, if she was in this loveless marriage as it seems with Robert Sr. Like, I think that, like, Mary is probably, like, a really, like, sad, lonely person who's looking for love in some way and wants to feel loved. So I can see why this rumor, like, Whitney would, like, buy into this idea, you know, because I think that from the outside looking in, it feels believable. This is, like I said, pure speculation, and I do not want anybody thinking that I'm, like,
I don't think it sounds believable. Because when
you don't?
I honestly don't know. I think Mary has but I can also see when you talk through, I can see how your mind can mm-hmm. go there. But I feel as though Mary and her actions have never, and I get, like, yes, we can, like, say, like, or you speculate about the fact that, like, her marriage and Robert Sr. and X, Y, and Z. But I feel as though Mary has publicly, and it's like, I mean, I feel like privately as well, and just seeing her and how she is, been like, and I know people, just because someone is, like, not locked in, but, like, dedicated to Christ XYZ, not saying they can't mm-hmm. in their eyes commit Jacob. Sins, not saying that at all, but I'm just saying, by, like, Mary's character, I just don't get that, like, that vibe from it.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I think that I am distrustful. This is, like, my own shit like coming into it. So, like, again, like I said, I have no insider information. I don't want people to think this, like, but I just think that it is easy for people who have a ton of power within any institution, mm-hmm. especially religious institutions, or, you know, like, any institution that makes people feel safe. If somebody has power and is looked at as, like, the head of something, I do think it's easy for them to, like, for people to begin relationships with them because they feel special and they feel picked. Mm-hmm. And Mary is a beautiful woman who, if this happened years ago, would have been much younger. This has nothing to do with Mary's character and everything to do with situationally. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is a story that has been told hundreds of times over and over. And that's why I'm saying, like, it feels believable. And somebody like Whitney would say that, like, if you take Mary out of it and you say, like, the woman who's the head of the church, who's in a loveless relationship, who low key hates her husband, who everybody believes is God, had a relationship in an affair with a younger, hot church member. Like, of course, everybody's like, that sounds like every movie ever told, you know? So that's what I just mean by, like, I can understand the logic in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I know, I see your point. I just don't.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like a thing of, like, kind of what you think. But yeah, I when she said it, I wrote down an affair with Mary. ? What? And that's just, like, what I have, because, like, when she said it and what you said, I can see, and taking Mary out and that type of dynamic with mm-hmm. a leader of a church and that whole thing, I can see how that can be mixed up. But I just, when it came to Mary, and I don't know Mary personally, I just see what I see on her show.
Yeah.
I just didn't get that. So yeah.
Yeah.
And I was very happy that they pushed past that scene when they did, because it it's Mary's own fault that she wasn't there, but, like, we're talking about, we only saw, honestly, probably one handful of scenes in Mary's church this season, not much. And mm-hmm. all the speculation was happening, not even, like, with the other ladies' concerns about her church. We really never saw Mary in her actual church in that position this season that much. And I don't know why it
was.
It was the podcast and Jen's going to church. I imagine COVID. The church was closed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I, like, and so I feel like we just didn't see that. And all the talk was just, like, speculation with the other ladies. And it was just, like, I was just glad because Mary wasn't there to defend her church, her congregation, her people of her church mm-hmm. and things like that. And, you know, every lady, I mean, besides kind of like Meredith, had like something to say on it. And Mary had, you know, she could have been there to defend herself, but she wasn't there. So I was very happy that, you know, that they kind of moved past it. Also something that I did want to point out with Mary, because they tapped on Mary for a little bit, but something that I did want to point out that I thought was so funny when Andy asked who has received, when they brought up Mary, who has received a negative, like a mean text message from Mary, and every person raised their hands except for Jenny. And then they said, oh, she probably has you blocked, or she said it to your face. But she sent even a mean text message to Meredith, which I was dying. But by the occasion, I can get why Meredith didn't got a, like a nice, nasty, probably text message, because it was in regards to when Jenny threw the glass, Mary texting Meredith, like, you didn't stand up for me, you didn't have my back, X, Y, and Z. I thought that was funny.
Jacob, I'm going to miss Mary so much.
I'm going to miss her so much.
This is such a blow. This is such a blow, Jacob.
Yeah, I'm going to miss her. I mean, I'm going to miss Mary.
Obviously, the fact that Mary sent, like, cruel, hateful text messages to every single woman on the show is, like, the most... And the fact that it's, like a C plot of Mary, not even, it's like an F plot of all of the things Mary's done is hilarious. Like, are you kidding me?
I mean, sending a text message to all the ladies on the show, like, that's pretty.
And Whitney, when she read those texts, oh my gosh. And of course I don't condone it. It's horrifying. It's just like, how is this real?
No, like, how is it real? And the fact that Mary read all of them all the way down, undressed them, read them down with her words. I wish those text messages had exposed, because I would have loved to see what she said to Jen.
Fake boobs, fake body.
I'm twice your age, but I look younger than you. Like, who comes?
With the eyebrow lift. What? Who says that to somebody?
Oh my goodness. And especially someone that you're like in contact with and like you're going to see probably tomorrow for filming. Like Mary Cosby has the cojones.
She does not give a damn. Fuck.
No, not a single one. Not a single one. And that's what I love. That's literally what I love. And she never backed down. Oh, women. I loved. Oh my gosh.
Oh, Mary. We miss you. Yes. We miss you so. And we'll get into it in tea time, but it looks like we've got some new women.
It does.
In the crew.
This episode is brought to you by AutoTrader. Credit scores, down payments, interest rates. Car buying can be a numbers game, but you don't have to be a math expert to get the keys to your dream car. Just use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. You can crunch the numbers so you know exactly how much you'll pay each month for your car. So leave the calculator at home. Visit AutoTrader.com to learn more.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up!
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now!
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Okay, so I agree with you that I'm glad that we moved off of this, not only because Mary wasn't there, but also I felt like it was a bit in poor taste to talk about Cameron, who, like, tragically passed away. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we did like a kid segment, which was
I fast forward to whatever. That scene. I just pressed
it. It was nothing.
Yeah, I was not looking forward to that.
So now we get into the Lisa hot mic moment. And like, I just can't believe that Lisa remained so nonchalant about it almost the entire time. Like, if I said something like that about my friend of 10 years and they heard it and I was being called out on it, I would be so racked with guilt that I would sob through the entire apology. And like, I know that then people would be like, oh my gosh, that's manipulative. Like, you need to take ownership, blah, blah, blah. But I would just feel so horrible.
Yeah.
And like, Lisa is dedicated to absolving herself.
Wait, when you said dedicated, you sounded exactly like her. When you said dedicated, it's literally sounded not the Lisa Barlow coming out, Maggie. Ew, shove it back in, shove it back in, shove it back in.
No, but well, I mean, this was wild to me. And like I said, Lisa to me is camp. So there are moments that we will touch on that are just so out of this world. That I literally was like, what on earth? But there's also just moments where I'm like, this is gross. You know, like, it's gross.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to start and like sort of get into where we began.
Yeah. And so where we began is basically a split screen. This was iconic. This was iconic. Mm-hmm. A three-person split screen of Andy, Meredith, and Lisa, where Andy is reading off verbatim what Lisa Barlow said on the quote-unquote hot mic moment about Meredith. And that's where we start. And the look on Lisa's face was very stone cold. And mm-hmm. I wonder, because I know a housewife that has done this on other seasons or of shows, OC, I won't say names, but they took is it a Xanax? They took like Xanax before they started because she was going to be in the hot seat, she was going to be in the damn hot seat in OC, and she took a Xanax. She said like, yeah, I'm on Xanax right now. So like, I'm like, I have nothing to give. And I'm not saying Lisa Barlow did, but I kind of got the same like stoic, like she knew she was going to be in deep shit and just like, I'm not showing any emotion. I'm like, I'm sorry, Meredith. So after Andy was reading the message, we kind of listened to Meredith kind of say her take on the situation. And I really liked what she said, because she said the words that you say, like you can believe that if you want to. And Lisa was like, I don't. And Meredith, I don't. And then Meredith said the venom and the hatred that the delivery was from is what got Meredith the most. And I was like, oh, whoa. And at the same time that Meredith said that, Whitney chimes in and says, oh, she said that there, but she also has talked shit about behind your back and said that verbatim to someone else that Whitney knows. And
Sarah Jane Warner.
Sarah Jane Warner, because Whitney said, call Sarah Jane Warner after this show to like verify what I'm saying. So basically it was an exposed party of Lisa talking shit, not only behind the door on the quote unquote hot mic moment, but also behind the back to people, you know, that are amongst the friends of the show. You know what I mean? It was just a very shitty situation. And I liked what Heather said. She kind of compared Lisa Barlow to the villains in Scooby-Doo, where she said, you know, they're like one way, and then once you take the mask off, they're like, you know, that's the true person that they are, and revealing, you know, Lisa Barlow as being the true person that she is in that hot mic moment, in every kind of numerous moment that has happened. And Heather even went on to say that she knows that Lisa has said horrific shit about Jen, herself, Whitney. Mm-hmm. We clearly see Meredith. And then she said, Jenny, if I knew some of your friends that you and Lisa share, I'll probably hear some stories about Lisa shitting on you too. And I was like, y'all are dragging this woman for filth. In every moment, I am here for it.
It was so intense. And Lisa is like, were my words awful? Yes. Was I at a breaking point? Yes. Was I in the privacy of my own room? Yes. Do I regret saying it? Yes. Am I sorry? 1000%. Big picture, it took a lot for me to get there too. I'm sorry. What? Like, this is the type of thing that when something like this happens, it does not matter what the other person did to you. Like I said, when it happened, the only way that I would be like, go off, Lisa, is if like Meredith, she found out Meredith had an affair with her husband. Like that is the level of betrayal she would have had from a friend for me to be like, you can say what you want, you know, but like this over nothing was absurd.
Wait. Remember, do you remember, because Lisa likes to talk when the reunion, like, they wrap up, they need to go on break. She likes to pull people to the side. Hey, can I talk to you?
Oh, yeah.
And I love the fact that Meredith was not having it in both parts. So mm-hmm. Lisa Barlow, this is kind of, I'm going to say something about what Maggie said. But before that, Lisa Barlow, when they said, okay, let's pause, break for lunch or break for something, Lisa Barlow would turn to Meredith and say, Meredith, can we talk? And then Meredith would be like, no, I don't want to hear this shit, Lisa. Like, I don't want to hear mm-hmm. the fakery. We're not supposed to talk off the reunion. Literally, I just don't want to hear it. And Lisa came up to Meredith after, you know, they redid the hot mic moment,
everything, yeah.
And mm-hmm. she said, the reason I said that is because people told me that you made fun of the renovations of my house. And Lisa and Meredith were like, I never made fun of that, Lisa. And if that was the reason, that is what you said, like, that's like fucking, That's stupid, baby. That's stupid. That's stupid.
But that's like camp.
Oh, it's not. It's ignorance.
That is the camp of Lisa Barlow.
Delusion.
Is that camp?
Is that camp? Okay.
Yes.
No, I probably understand what camp is.
Oh my! It's camp because Lisa takes herself so seriously and is saying stuff that is so stupid.
Literally.
But she so deeply believes it. And she's like, well, you said I had a shitty house. I heard that you said that I had a shitty house.
That's why I said that. Like, that's what pushed me to that moment.
What?
Baby girl, really?
Lisa?
That's what made you call her a whore who slept with all the Upper East Side or West Side? Probably both. And that's why you say, oh, whatever. Why can't y'all buy a house? Because your husband doesn't know how to keep a job. The family that poses together. At least if I go on your Instagram, sis, the family that poses together, the call is coming from inside of the house, madam. Also, thing that Lisa Barlow did that pissed me off even before this moment, which proved to me that this girl ain't, this girl is a shitty mm-hmm. friend.
I want to talk about all this because I know what you're going to talk about.
Meredith breaks down because, and we talked about last part one, but she was dealing with a lot in this season, at the beginning of the season. And she confided in Lisa. They've been friends for 10 years, quote unquote, sisters in Lisa's eyes, both best friends and shit like that. And she confided in Lisa. And 3 days before, Meredith claims 3 days before her father passed away, she reached out to Lisa and got nothing from Lisa. And then mm-hmm. the day that her father passed away, she reached out to Lisa. And then I think the day after or something, like
2 days later, she invited her to Shabbat dinner.
And Lisa basically only focus was talking about the Jen situation and how hurt mm-hmm. that could have been. And then to knock that point out the ballpark, Whitney Heather decides to chime in and says, hey, Meredith, 2 days after or 1 day after my father passed away, Lisa Barlow texted me and said, I hope your father's feeling better. 2 days after Heather's father passed away, Lisa Barlow texted Heather and said, I hope your father is feeling better. That may not resonate with y'all enough. 2 days after Heather's father has already passed away, 2 days after that, Lisa Barlow texts Heather Gay and says, I hope your father is okay.
Well, she didn't know.
That's your good sis.
She didn't get the info.
That's your good sis.
Didn't you hear what she said? She didn't get the info. Everything Lisa says is true.
Of course.
She didn't get the info.
Lisa's a shitty friend.
Mess.
Did
we watch the same thing? Lisa's the worst friend ever.
And like, especially like, Meredith broke the hell down talking about like knew
this,
like that got me.
And Jacob, this is actually the part, because this all came before the hot mic mm-hmm. moment, and this was the part when I had to pause it and I was like, Lisa, what the hell? Because this was like, I have a lot of stuff bolded here because I want to read like what Meredith said. So she said that, she went over all of that with the Shabbat dinner, and she said that when she texted Lisa 3 days before her father died and said that her father was dying, Lisa never called her back. And then when she talked about the Shabbat dinner, this was when Lisa turned her body away from Meredith as Meredith is sobbing and looks at Andy and says, I absolutely called Meredith back. Mm-hmm. I talked to her about it, to Andy. Like Meredith's not in the room.
Yeah.
And like, she's not sobbing because she's been so hurt by her friend. Like, what? Like, why do you feel like you have to defend yourself to Andy when you could talk straight to your friend and say be it. Like, I did. I don't know what you're talking about. Say like, it. If it is a generate, like, real misunderstanding and you don't feel like you have to defend yourself, isn't that when you look at your best friend of 10 years and you say, wait, I'm confused. I thought I did do that. Like, was that not taken in that way by you? Like, I don't understand. And then Lisa asks Meredith, she said, well, let me see your text. Like, can I see what you're reading? Because Meredith starts reading this text off of her phone. And Lisa's like, can I see what you're reading? And Meredith goes, can I read the text first? And Lisa's like, okay.
Yes.
So this part was wild to me.
Mm-hmm.
Meredith reads this text that she sent Lisa about a month after her father passed away, when there was a lot of strife within the women. And she basically said, she was in immense pain, that she was suffering daily and she could really use a friend right now. She understands that Lisa has to do what's right for her, but she really needs her. So this is the crazy part of all of this. So Lisa posted a screenshot of this text message and posted it on Twitter during the airing of the reunion. I don't know if you saw this.
No, I definitely
she
didn't.
Okay, so she took a screenshot of this and posted it in the reunion. So Meredith texted her the long thing that she read. And then it looked to me, the problem is Lisa has since deleted this. Because I went back to take notes to see what it said.
It was gone?
She has since deleted it. It's gone. She has since deleted it. And she said, it seemed like it was an hour or so later. It had a timestamp when Lisa texted her back and said, I am here for you. I love you, or something, or like, I will. I'm here for you. I love you. Something like that that Lisa said to her. Meredith quote tweeted it and said, stop lying, Lisa. I never heard from you. And Lisa wrote back with a screenshot of the call log from that day that shows that she called Meredith twice. One time Meredith didn't answer, and the second time they talked for 20 minutes. So she posted those receipts. And they have since been deleted.
I wonder why.
I would assume it's probably because they worked this all out off the internet, probably on camera because they're recording the new season.
That's so awkward. And like, y'all are fighting on Meredith, Twitter and also recording at the same time. Right, that's so awkward.
Right. And Meredith probably was like, Lisa, please delete this. Like, I don't want this on the internet. Or Lisa, maybe, like, I hope that this is something that we find out season three. But like, it did look to me, and this is the thing that like is so crazy about it. It looks to me like Lisa did call her, but like, that's not neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Like, Meredith's talking about the fact that her best friend of 10 years hurt her so deeply and she felt abandoned by her. And Lisa's posting call receipts to show that they had a 20-minute conversation. Like, that, like I said, that's neither here nor there. It's about the way that you made your friend feel and the crappy, shitty things that you said about her. Like, I don't understand. So then Lisa goes to defend herself. And she says, I was there for Meredith to Andy. And Andy's like, well, Lisa, it's not landing with her. And Lisa goes, well, it's landing with me. And Jen and Heather are like, are we in the Twilight Zone? What the actual fuck is she saying?
It's landing with me. Like, who gives a damn, girl?
And that is just, that is why. Okay, see, and you're laughing. That is why Lisa Barlow makes me laugh. Because who does that? Like, where did they find this woman? How does she exist? Like, she is saying, like, Andy is trying to be like, this tactic that you're taking, this way of defending yourself, is not helping your relationship with Meredith, which you don't have to defend yourself to me. You don't have to defend yourself to anyone here on this couch except Meredith.
Yeah.
You don't have to defend yourself to the world. Like, this is between you and Meredith. And yet you are actively saying, I don't care what Meredith thinks. This is what I think.
It lands with me. Chow. Like, wow.
I like, I there are no words, Jacob.
It's landing with me. And then we see the other ladies cackle over there on the couch, which I was like, child, Lisa Barlow, baby, you can't make this shit up. This woman
That is why this is what I was saying last week. Like, and this is about, I'm like getting intense about this because it's like not like to me, it's the most absurd thing ever, but it's also just like so sad to watch Meredith sob and be like, how could you have abandoned me and done this to me? Yeah. And Lisa's like, I think I did fine.
What? Bad.
And then Lisa goes, like, at one point she starts yelling, hold on, I wrote this down too. So this was after, like, they're all fighting, and this is after Whitney is like, talk to Sarah Jane Wade or whatever. Lisa says, I have been a great friend to you for 10 years and you want to crucify me for this one moment. Do you want me to cut my wrists and apologize? I am being myself right now. That's the problem. I'm shutting the fuck down because everyone here wants to break me all the time.
Go, child. Something that irked me was people like the Jen, I think Heather, saying, you don't have to be this strong person. I was like, no, why are we giving her like sympathy? Oh, you don't have to be this strong person. I don't think Lisa Barlow is strong. She's obviously cracking under the pressure at every single moment in this reunion, where I, at one point in this reunion, thought she was going to clock all of y'all. But absolutely not. That is not what it's looking like.
What did Meredith say at ice fishing? I can't with the projection.
Projecting, deflecting, and lying.
I mean, that's Lisa Barlow now.
Literally. It worked for Jen Shaw and it worked for Lisa Barlow.
Projecting, you know, the family that poses.
Literally.
Deflecting, saying it works for her and she did call her.
Period.
And just straight up lying.
Literally. Ciao.
Oh my God.
Woo. But I liked in this moment, well, not like, but I think this is a moment, a thing to know, just even talk going into next season. Andy asked them, where's the state of their relationship right now? And Lisa mm-hmm. said that, like, you know, obviously she's sorry and she hopes, like, you know, the relationship can be better. Obviously she's the one that fucked up, and so she like has to have that approach. Mm-hmm. But Meredith said she saw this footage 48 hours before the reunion, and mm-hmm. like she doesn't know right now, but she doesn't want to just throw away a 10-year friendship.
Yeah, I can't even imagine how Meredith feels right now, like in this moment. Like, yeah. I can't imagine how she's feeling, because I don't know how I would feel. I think it would be like, I'm sure she's blindsided by it. Definitely. Like, she was blindsided by it. For me to hear someone that I really thought was my best friend say something like that about me would be, I don't know that I would ever recover from that. That would be like a deep pain point for me, I think, for the rest of my life. And I'm not kidding. Like, that is real shit, because this is not just somebody that I met for this drama filled reality show. This is someone who's been in my life for 10 years, who knows my family, who knows my kids. Like, it's horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't think.
But it's working for Lisa Barlow.
Working for her detriment.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick, so I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay. This is all that. Honestly, that's all I had for this part of the reunion, because there was a lot of filler here, I felt. Did you have anything else that you wanted to talk about?
No, because I was about to say something about Jenny, but Jenny, like, y'all could have edited her like out this entire reunion. And mm-hmm. I'm hoping we don't get that boring played out storyline about her and Dewey when it comes to part three. just edit her out, because we're not going to see her season three. Like, it's always really no point. Mm-hmm. It's annoying. And I'm not intrigued. A lot of people aren't intrigued. And the ratings for, I think this part had more ratings, higher ratings than the first part, which mm-hmm. surprised me. I follow like Bravo ratings.
I wonder if it's because people were wanting to see, like, they realized, okay, it's a 3-part reunion. When are they going to talk about the arrest? You know,
I'm not that interested in hearing about the arrest, honestly. And do you think a lot of people, because like when I, even on Twitter, I feel like the it's so many other storylines mainly focused on Lisa Barlow and Meredith that for me mm-hmm. and Mary, I find it more engaging than when Jen Shaw is potentially going to prison. Like, I don't care. I don't really care about that.
The reason that you don't really care about that is that Jen has done this amazing, amazing job of hiding behind her feathers for this reunion. Like, she literally, like, put on that Abby Lee Miller wig and, like, faded into the background and, like, has done an amazing job of, like, being, like, this quiet, you know, like, I am innocent person. And I am excited, and I hope that this last part of the reunion, Andy puts her feet to the fire, because I know that you're like, I'm not really interested in hearing about it, but I want to know if she's going to go to prison. So I want to hear what she has to say about it so that I can know, like, if I believe her or if I think she's going to be convicted.
But don't you feel like you know everything, though? Because that's how I feel.
I want to hear her talk on it, though, because she, like, refuses to talk on it and is giving, like, nothing answers so far. Mm-hmm. So that's probably why you're not interested, because you're like, okay, well, she's just going to give nothing answers, so it doesn't matter. But I want Andy to, like, hold her feet to the fire. I'm excited to hear about this infidelity that he's going to ask Shaw about. I felt like he didn't push enough about the fact that he was like, Whitney, what did you hear about Jen dating another? Like, what? Whitney did a whole confessional about it, and she gets off scotch-free said Jen cheated on her husband.
I think the way that Andy posed that was, it's rumors going out there that you and Jen were dating the same man. And like, I was waiting for Whitney's feet to be held to the fire with that as well. But
as they should have been, she went on national television and said that.
Yeah.
Like, what? But yeah, I just, honestly, the biggest letdown for me of the reunion so far has been the lack of putting Jen's situation in the forefront, because like, that was the most thrilling part of the season. Those two episodes, oh my gosh, like, that was when she gets arrested in the Sprinter van and all of that, like, and all we're hearing is her saying, I'm fighting to prove my innocence. Like, ask her about the money, ask her about where it all came from, ask her about the defrauding the elderly, ask her about Stewart's plea, ask her about, is she cheating on Coach Shaw? Like, where are all the questions for Jen? Why are the only questions that Jen's had so far have been like, are you still friends with Meredith? What?
Yeah, I mean, and I think because
that's what we're asking Jen Shaw.
As we saw, like, in different seasons, specifically speaking of Beverly Hills Housewife, when the latest scandal with them was Erica Jane. Erica Jane got her mm-hmm. feet held to the fire massively. She got her feet held to the fire that entire season, and I think. Mm-hmm. Because that Jen Shaw arrest was different. And a lot of people I saw on Twitter were debating like, oh, well, like, we saw Erica Jane get her feet held to the fire and Jen kind of getting off scot-free. We don't know. I think the third part, they're going to touch into it a little bit more based off of previews. Mm-hmm. But one of the reasons why I think that is because in Beverly Hills, they stayed on that topic every moment. They did not let Erica Jane breathe at all with like the other people had their lawyers. They was reading because it was like as the stuff was happening, things were coming out constantly about that situation. And with this situation, the only people that had like a big concern with it was really Meredith. And then Lisa at that certain point, but they didn't really hold Jen's feet to the fire. And so I think the ladies didn't let that storyline kind of be a storyline to begin with. And so, except for that one little time frame that we had, but I just think, I am intrigued, but I feel as though
I'm
very surprised at how pleased I am with this reunion. I'm very surprised. I didn't think it was going to be worth watching, but I think as I love Meredith, I think just like watching her like is very invigorating for me. And so, Yeah.
Yeah. She built her case. She pled her case.
They had exhibit A, exhibit B. I was living for it.
It was great. Should we get into tea time?
Yes. Let's get into it.
Okay. Hold on. Ready? Okay. So we have some new women filming the next season so far. So there was an update on March 5th that there are currently three newbies filming with the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City cast. Dana, I'm sorry if, also I have not heard these names said out loud. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry if I mispronounce them. I'm going to try my best. Dana or Dana Buinagrate, Tina Edwards, and Angie Katsinavis. So I will retweet this on my Twitter if you're interested. And then also there's no word yet on if they have snowflakes, if they're friends of, not sure. And then Queens of Bravo tweeted on March 7th that sources are confirming to them that Angie Harrington will have a role on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City season 3, but the role is still undetermined.
I'm excited for that. That's what I'm excited.
I hope she gets that snowflake. Come on, Angie.
She wants it so bad, and the way that she's going to drag Lisa Barlow.
Just like for the fame of it. Like, and that's the thing. Like, Lisa is transparent, but so is Angie. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, we saw Angie in those two little episodes that she was in. And just like, and even how Angie got brought into this, the reunion, and talking about how they went on the Cancun and Angie showed her everything. Like I am waiting for Angie to see what she has to say, because I know Lisa Barlow, like, she can't feel like she has really any friends going into next season.
I mean, but like maybe,
well, typically what Bravo does when like housewives are, they're coming back, but they are also like in a sense isolated. And they did this with Kenya Moore. They did this with a couple other ones. So I'm guessing one of the three ladies that you named besides Angie H is friends with Lisa, because they don't just want her to, I mean, cause who can she actually film with that she has a good relationship with? And so bringing in one of Lisa's friends is something that Bravo has done. They've done it with Kenya when they brought in Claudia. After Kenya Moore got physically assaulted on the reunion. You never heard about that? Mm-mm. Oh, yeah. She got like hair pulled, like dragged to the floor. Yeah.
Who hurt her?
Portia. Yeah. It was like.
No wonder you hate Portia.
I do not like Portia at all.
Oh, my God. No wonder you hate Portia.
Literally.
Wow.
Yeah.
Portia assaulted her and has her own show on Bravo.
Well, it was a spinoff, but it was a very bad look spinoff. And also Portia, that scandal, I would have given Portia a spinoff too based off of that. But the next season, she didn't come back. She came back as a friend up, but then after that, they brought her back as like, and then her and Kenya made up, but then they still don't F with each other. But
I mean, clear. I wouldn't. That's wild to me.
But when they both had babies, they had this like cute moment. It was super cute. But that's Atlanta. Mm-hmm. But so when housewives are like more so isolated and they don't have like that one friend, that one connecting, they'll probably bring in. So I'm guessing one of the new ladies is really close to Lisa Barlow, and especially since Jenny is gone, they need somebody to be her alliance member in a way. So should be interesting.
Yeah, and the picture of these women, like, they look gorgeous.
They look
so
gorgeous.
I'm hoping they bring a lot.
I'm hoping we get dynamic, interesting, confrontational, smart women.
And was it this week, or did we talk yet about the fact that Jen's trial got moved?
I was about to ask. I don't think her trial got moved. Yes, I think.
Yes, end of July.
Yes.
So we will have Jen Shaw for all of season 3 and maybe even the top of season 4. The show is saved.
I'm hoping. And I'm like, I know Bravo, they started filming right after the reunion because Jen Shaw was, she got her trial was in March. So they wanted to like get all the reunion. So, and they wanted that case to be like during filming so they can like kind of in a way monetize on that and showcase that. But since it's probably going to go outside of the filming range, they may, you know, prolong filming up until that point, but who knows, but I'm excited for it.
We'll just have to see how it unfolds next season.
Let's do
because
it.
Because we've only got one episode left.
I know, right? This is like huge.
I know. It's been crazy. You guys, Jacob and I, over the course this season.
Also,
okay, sorry, go ahead.
Next Monday is my birthday, so we're going to push it back.
Okay, well, oh, okay. We are going to, not, oh, because I see your birthday comes first.
Okay. I just thought of that.
Okay, so guys, don't expect it until Wednesday.
Yes.
Sorry about the pushback, but Jacob, obviously, his birthday comes first, so we're going to have to do a Tuesday recording session again. But honestly, you guys, like, I haven't even said this to him, but, like, Jacob and I have become such good friends because of this podcast, I feel. Like, our friendship has blossomed, and, like, we went to the club together.
It's more than just a podcast, like, oh, just, like, two co-hosts, yes. You know what I mean? Like, me and Maggie are, like, friends.
Yeah, and it's so nice to have this built-in time to talk to you every week, so I'm going to miss it when it's over.
And you're going to go to Temptation Island. I'm going to be sitting over here jealous and everything.
Well, you have to watch.
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah. And especially because you know a couple on there.
Yeah, yeah.
That should make it very interesting.
Oh, goodness.
But yeah.
Help me. Help me with that one. okay, guys. So we'll see you next week. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Yes.
For the last episode.
Oh my gosh. What?
It's been a journey. It's been half a year.
Maggie, it really has, which is so, I think, crazy. Like, who knew that? Because I didn't know it was going to be this long getting, like, because
Me either.
I need to go back, but I don't honestly remember a Housewife season being prolonged this many weeks. I just, like, this is half a year.
You sent me the link to this Zoom meeting that we recorded on September 13th.
Oh my gosh.
Literally 6 months. I just counted on my hands.
Oh,
6 months, because
gosh,
we're going to end next week and it's going to be March 13th. Or ish.
Yeah, March 13th is on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Oh my, Maggie. We did it.
Mm-hmm. We did it. Well, we haven't done it yet. We still got one episode. But we mostly did it.
Oh my goodness. I was 24 when I did this podcast. I'm about to turn 25. I'm so old.
Oh my gosh. I love it. You're not old. Are you kidding? I'm older than you. Shut up.
You are.
You're not old.
Ill. Okay.
All right. Okay. So, Jacob, where can people find you?
People can
if they
find
want to
me
check you out?
Everywhere on Instagram. All social media is at JacobJ_Jones. Also, since this podcast will be dropping tomorrow, if anybody is going to, we have any Survivor fans going to like the Bryce and Wynn event, me and Maggie will be there, which come up to us, say hi. And also, I will be tomorrow morning. I will be doing live feed updates with my guy Taryn. So yeah, catch me in the Big Brother Canada streets. And I think after this will be a good little break. Good little break from, you know, I'll probably do Big Brother Canada still, Big Brother next season, but this will be like a little break. And Maggie, Maggie's a woman of many jobs, child. And so Maggie, where can people find you at and what you're up to next?
Yeah. People can find me on Instagram and TikTok at @MLMorgan_ and on Twitter @_MLMorgan. And I'm going to be next week. I start up with Kirsten McInnes. We're going to be recording on Thursday evening. So the podcast will come out Friday mornings for Temptation Island season 4. Get ready. It's going to be wild.
When does episodes drop for Temptation Island? On Wednesday?
Wednesday night.
Oh, so you're going to be like Survivor Temptation Island.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
I'll probably watch the Temptation Island episodes a Thursday morning,
okay,
if I'm
yeah.
being honest.
Honestly, those are better, TBH. So it's fresh.
I watch Survivor with Jordan Kalish. He has a bar that, like, everybody watches Survivor. And so now that you live here,
no, honestly, where,
for Survivor
where is
season.
It? Well, we can talk about it off, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about it off pod. We'll get that. But yeah, I'll text you about it.
Also,
and,
I'm about to move too.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, and we'll talk about
that
off-pod,
too.
We don't need to be giving your address to anybody. Yeah, no, we don't need to be doing that. Okay, goodbye, everybody. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
And we will see you next week.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.